In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is the third Christmas season message entitled King of Israel. The first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, mentions in the second chapter wise men coming from the east. They seemed knowledgeable of astronomy, about the shapes and the movements of stars. Seeing the Christmas star, they came to a very definite conclusion that the star pointed to the birth of a Jewish king. Let us read this gospel text from Matthew chapter 2, verse 2 until 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it arose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. God's Word. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of Israel under King David enjoyed tremendous success despite tremendous internal conflicts. Even before King David's death, there were unhealthy signs of spiritual and moral weaknesses. Over a very few generations, the kingdom of Israel became badly divided and gradually fell apart. The Babylonians destroyed whatever remained. We learn from the book of Daniel and other Old Testament prophets that the Jews spent 70 years in exile and captivity under the Babylonians and later under the Persians, east in the region of Mesopotamia. The prophets repeatedly spoke of it. We saw in our previous message on the virgin birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah spoke in chapter 7 of the imminent Babylonian conquest, destruction of Jerusalem, and the exile of the remaining Judean population into Babylon. There, they experienced a very vibrant interest in studying and sharing God's promises for future restoration of the nation kingdom. The restoration of the kingdom required the king. The king must come through the royal line of King David, Israel's outstanding king. The Lord had promised David that his kingdom would not completely disappear like other kingdoms. In chapter 9, Isaiah's prophecy predicted that the child of the virgin would have the government upon his shoulder. Many in Babylon and Persia were exposed to the teaching of the Old Testament prophets about the promised Messiah, King of Israel. The Jewish exiles taught that to each other. After the Persians defeated the Babylonians and took over the empire, the Jewish people enjoyed better relations with them and ultimately gained their support to return to the land and rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple. So the wise men had reason to look for the birthplace of the promised king in the vicinity of Jerusalem. They obviously knew of the hope of the Jewish people of the restoration of their kingdom. At that time, Herod was king over Judea. He was of ethnic Edomite background and much resented and hated by the Jews. He was also well aware of their longing hope to have the kingdom restored under a king from the house of David. Naturally, the naive question of the wise men about the birthplace of a Jewish king alarmed and frightened Herod. Yet neither he nor the vast majority of the Jews understood the real meaning of the message of the Old Testament prophets. They wrongly assumed that the restoration of the kingdom would be a return to what it was under King David. Yet the message of the prophets was of a much vaster kingdom of a totally different nature. Repeatedly, Isaiah, Micah, and other prophets identified the promised Messiah as the one who brings peace among the nations. In Isaiah 9, he is called the Prince of Peace. Earlier in the same chapter, we read of the multiplication of the nation in advance of the coming of a great light to shine on the nations, way beyond the borders of Galilee and the River Jordan. In Isaiah 9, verse 2 and verse 3, we read, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Brothers and sisters, the prophet Micah in chapter 5 speaks of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, saying that the result would be peace instead of war among different peoples. The prophet Haggai in chapter 2 identified the building of the new temple with the establishing of peace. The message of the angel to the shepherds in the second chapter of Luke was very clear. He spoke of good news of great joy that will be for all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The message of joy to all people was followed by the song of the heavenly multitude which accompanied the angel. They sang in the hearing of the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Brothers and sisters, King David understood the Lord's promise of an abiding kingdom that comes from his line. He understood it to involve all peoples, resulting from the spread of the praise and glory of the Lord among all nations. This, of course, cannot be separated from the original divine call to Abraham to bring blessing to all families of the earth. The promise was very clear to Abraham. It led to the change of his name from Abram, the father of a single nation, to Abraham, the father of many nations. This was the main interest of godly Jews. They understood the universal nature of God's promise to Abraham and the spiritual nature of the abiding kingdom of King David. When Mary and Joseph presented baby Jesus in the temple, as recorded in the second chapter of Luke, there was a Simeon, described as righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. As he took baby Jesus in his arms, he praised God, saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Indeed, Jesus came to take on the throne of David. This was the clear message of the angel to the Virgin Mary in the first chapter of Luke. He said to her, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and will reign over the house of Jacob," or Israel, "forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Brothers and sisters, Jesus, the promised King, came to fulfill all promises of a blessed new creation gathered from among all nations. He is the King on an everlasting throne. It is a message of salvation and of true peace among all peoples of all nations. That was the original divine design, a new nation from all nations, a new kingdom that includes all people. The temporary Israel, with limited geographical borders, was there to bear witness to the goodness and saving grace of God for the whole world. Its existence was marred by sin and failure, yet it symbolized and served God's purpose of blessing all nations. Through Jesus, the real Son of David, the King over the abiding Israel of God, which includes all nations. This is what we celebrate on Christmas Day. Hallelujah! The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations, at all times, throughout the whole earth, by the message of the gospel. Amen.